Welcome back, Raw Thoughts listeners. Another week, another episode, and another guest that I get to interview. On Raw Thoughts podcast, I bring individuals on and we just hear about their life, where they've gone, what they've done, and where they're going. I just really appreciate you guys giving me the support, the love, and the dedication to listening. So, furthermore, we have Eric Stevenson with Fireside. So, tell us about yourself.
So my wife and I started this brand. The concept Fireside Pine came in about October. Leading up to that, you know, I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska, born and raised up there. Always loved nature, and it's been a long journey through the military and just life and everything, traveling around. But you know, we met about actually our anniversary's here in 1 month for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was when we got married. You know, just getting to know each other. We've always loved nature and outdoors. And we wanted to bring that connection to other people. So in October, you know, we kind of had that concept of she wanted to get the tattoo on her forearm, you know, the trees and things. And we thought about it. It was like, well, what if we did on clothing, you know? And kind of, you know, what if other people wanted that? So we put it on some clothing. We got the concept, got with a graphic designer, and through October and all the way up through the July is when we launched. We got connected with Idaho Backcountry Veterans, a local organization I've kind of been part of for a while, and you know, just kind of got their buy-in and wanted to partner with them or collaborate with them and give them some of our proceeds and just help them out where we could because it's a great organization.
What does that organization do?
So Idaho Backcountry Veterans is all about getting veterans out hunting, fishing, camping, things like that, outdoors, no cost to the veteran. But more importantly, it's that mental health aspect, being able to be around each other and just talk and do things that you wouldn't be able to do in a clinic. And it's helped so many people. Started up by Kevin McFarland, I think 6 years ago now. And, you know, he loved hunting. He loved doing that kind of stuff. And, you know, he was, you know, tired of the statistics that, you know, are part of veterans and 22 a day. And he wanted to be able to help out where he could. And taking people hunting and fishing was a way he could do that. So he started the nonprofit and it's really grown a lot. Really proud of him for it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it was a natural partnership with us because our thing is nature is life happens, you know, traffic could be horrible. You know, your boss could be getting on your nerves. Nature is always there. Now, all that stuff that happens during the day and, you know, during the week is temporary. Nature's forever. So that's kind of where we've always been recentered. We get out there, you know, picture camping with family and friends around a campfire, things like that. We wanted to bring those images back and give people those memories and those thoughts. And just kind of also that mental health of just, you can get away from this. You know, yeah. Whatever's going on, go take a break, that right. kind of thing. And so, yeah, our clothing was born out of that.
It's really interesting for the nature aspect, too, because us as people, we evolve, we change, and nature does, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can go out to the mountains, you know, in February, in July, in December. It's always changing. It's always evolving, you know, but it really gets you grounded and back to, like, what really matters.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's always something different you can go find out there or, you know, take your family out and find that new spot or go like to a cabin that you guys do and just have those memories built at the cabin. That was a big thing for my wife growing up was, you know, she always talks about the cabin. Yes. I have a mental picture of the cabin and I've never been there.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. You know, just great memories with her family there.
That's really cool. With your experience of being in the military, mental health, now you have a business, you know, how did you like, you know, the tattoo and then making it onto a shirt, but there's got to be more to like, why did you want to do that?
So, you know, with our careers, we both like our jobs. My wife was in HR, which is inherently a stressful job, no matter what company. And she was with a wonderful company. But it's just one of those, it was a thought of maybe, you know, 5-10 years down the road, we can build something that gets her out of that and be able to not have to, you know, deal with HR anymore and that type of thing. In happenstance, she's out of HR now. Wow. in a different role with a different company. But that kind of helped launch this. And also just something to kind of do ourselves. We've always wanted to, we had thoughts about doing all kinds of different businesses and things and really taking off. But this was kind of the push to get us there. And the clothing, just, you know, hoodies, leggings, shirts, tank tops, hats, stuff people wear. And we wanted to kind of have a broad spectrum of people that we go to. And so whether work out or you know, sit on the couch and hang out and, you know, just be comfortable wherever, you know, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So you had this thought, you had this idea, and then what was your next step to actually making it happen?
So a lot of research and trying to, you know, find that right step. One thing that I absolutely love and adore about my wife is when she gets that thought in her head, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen quick. So you better jump on board. And so I've been her, you know, her biggest supporter getting this going and, you know, just, you know, where we can do this. And so next step was she found a graphic designer, clothing graphic designer. She's out east. I can't remember the website that, you know, she found her on, but we met with her and just, hey, this is our thoughts. This is what's going on. Where do we go from here? And so she's been very helpful in us in the beginnings of a clothing company. Of, you know, she's dealt with several. That's what her, you know, niche is there, is dealing with that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, so we just dealt with that and got some, you know, basic designs and things and just grew on that and grew on that and got a couple of hats made and a couple of shirts in the process. The key elements that we really started with that we wanted to, you know, drive our business was the hoodies and leggings. Of course, that takes the longest time. We started completely from scratch. We went out and found all kinds of different hoodies and leggings that we liked different aspects of. We sent them to her. We told her, hey, this out of this we want, this out of that we want, and we want to make it perfect, you know, solve a lot of different things that we saw that weren't quite perfect with the other ones. For instance, like the hoodies. We made them really soft on the inside and lightweight so you can wear them more. And then some people like them, some people don't, but I call them kangaroo pouch up front.
Yeah.
We got rid of that and put side pockets in it.
Oh,
okay. So just something a little different, a little unique for us. And then the neckline, we're always kind of pulling on it and choking on it and on regular hoodies. Right. We pulled that down, not pulled it down, but brought it down to kind of a, you know, V cut there to get it off your throat. So that type of stuff is, you know, things that we were thinking of with creating this new brand and making it unique and making it us, along with the patterns and that kind of stuff.
Right. How is picking out the materials? Because I think that would be grueling.
I don't want to say difficult, but it was a lengthy process. So just going to different stores, and we might have looked weird just feeling all the materials as we're walking down, but, you know, it took a couple months of doing that and finding all the right stuff that we wanted and you know, finding the compositions and what meant what, because, you know, I've heard a lot of this stuff, but I don't know what it means or what makes this soft, or, you know, which of the materials that's in here makes it this way. So
right.
Working with that graphic designer and clothing person really helped us with that.
It's kind of fun to see a male doing this as well.
Yeah, I get a lot of comments on that as well, especially when I'm out at the booth selling the leggings and things and talking about them.
Like, have you ever tried any on?
I have not.
Come on, we need to get you in a pair.
I don't know that the size goes large enough for me on that one.
So you guys have a website, you're selling online, you're doing booths. Like, how are you finding places that you are selling, or where are you going to sell this stuff?
So we started online, and then our launch, we created a launch event at MidStar Firearms out in Middleton. They were gracious enough to have us there and kind of have a whole thing going on, and they've been really helpful. Since then, we were lucky. We got into the state fair, or the Western Idaho State Fair. That was a huge push for us. So that really got us out there. We started seeing a bunch of our stuff everywhere. And since then, it's just been a lot of evening and weekend work of finding events, wherever we can, you know, that fit our brand. So I've been out there pretty much every weekend since the fair, except for one weekend. Just, kind of took a break that weekend. We got our first out-of-state one that we just booked. We'll be in Portland, actually on our anniversary on the 18th of November. So we have a 3-day huge snow fest up there. Snowvana. So that's a 3-day event, 12 to 15,000 people. So that's going to be a big one for us.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really cool to get into that one. The goal is next year to get in even more of the fairs and things like that. Because that seems to be, you know, condensed best place you can be to see as most the most people. We both have a decent amount of PTO that we can take off from our day jobs to go do those types of things, and just kind of maximize our efforts there. But it's just been a lot of research and trying to find the right events.
Yeah, and I think there's so many, but you also have to figure out what really correlates with you and how you want to promote yourself within those people.
Exactly. Yeah, there's at any given time, there's, you know, three or four events going on every weekend. You know, we just got started, so we're still learning. You know, a lot of them you have to be for the big ones, you have to be in months in advance. We've been around for about 3 or 4 months. So a little late to the game on the ones this fall and this winter. We got lucky and got into a couple that we're on wait lists for. But we are getting to the point where people are asking us to come to them. So we're getting recognized for our efforts and, you know, seeing us out there and seeing how well we've been doing. And so that's been kind of a cool little step to what we've been doing too.
Yeah. For the products, how does that get shipped, or how does that actually get made and then shipped, or shipped to you and then you're selling them at the fairs and things like that?
So we work with the graphic designer. We get everything we can as perfect as we can with all the programs that she has computerized and things to get the picture perfect and patterns right. That gets sent to our manufacturer in LA, and they put it all together. We have a few meetings with them and make sure that we're all understanding the notes right and everything's supposed to be. They'll send us a sample. Perfect example is our next line of leggings that are going on right now. We just got the sample Thursday, I think, last week. And so we went through them. We had, somebody that we knew the right size for that, put them on. Hey, we need to tweak this. We need to move that. This is, perfect. This is what we need. And, send those notes back, have a meeting with them. They correct those, and sometimes they'll either send us another sample, or in this case, we're kind of in a crunch to get it. It takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get them done, in a crunch to get them for that Snowvana thing. So we have them, they're going to take pictures and show us the updates and everything, and then they'll start production. So they create the fabric, they dye it for us, just for us. So there's a minimum amount we have to get done. And then from there, they sew them up and send them to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you find what your quantity is going to be that you order these? I mean, because that's a pretty tricky, sizing and then your events, how many you're going to be doing that. How do you figure that?
So we're still getting that data to get it down perfect. In the beginning, we just kind of more or less Googled it and went off of, general starting points for, sizing, you do a certain amount of double XL, less, of those than you do larges and mediums. And so there's kind of a pyramid that you kind of follow on that until you kind of see what your market is and exactly where that falls. And so we are learning and we are getting it more dialed in, but still figuring out what's right. The minimums, a lot of that has to do with how much they have to create. There's a minimum amount of fabric they have to create. And so they'll make everything off of that. And they'll sometimes send us more than we were asking for, but, really just boils down to what we think we're going to be able to sell in a certain amount of time, being early stages. We're still, funding it ourselves and trying to, it's got to sell and then order and sell and then order and that type of thing. We have been, blessed with some family that's been able to help us out with that. And just kind of give us a little bit more buying power to get some of the costs down a little bit as well. As you, everyone knows, you buy more, you get, discounted on most things.
Right.
So, so that's been where a lot of it's been.
Well, especially when you are funding it yourself, mm-hmm. because it's this kind of juggle back and forth of you don't want to spend too much because you got to make that money back. And how quick are you going to make that money back?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely can relate to that with especially the podcast of, how much money do I put into it? Where am I getting that return from, and understanding that. But I feel like trial and error, you don't know until you do.
Yeah.
In your ordering and your quantity and, the types and feedback, I would assume, is a good one for you as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And you get lots of people coming through that have a lot of great ideas. And I try to tell them, we've been around 3 months, so we're still, You know, playing with which thing makes the most sense to go with next. You know, I've had a lot of great ideas from a lot of people. You can't do them all at once. So it's just kind of picking which one you think is the next natural step in what you're doing, and then hedging your bet on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Does this bring in a lot? I mean, do you meet a lot of veterans through this, being a veteran-owned company?
You do. So it's a lot of great people coming through and hearing their stories and you know, their struggles and connecting them with Idaho Backcountry Veterans has been big too. So I usually have pamphlets for them and we do some donation items just for them as well. So it's also kind of a starting talking point for that organization, kind of helping them out even more than just monetarily, but just getting their name out there more too.
Right. Especially for how many people locally, you know, hunting and fishing and the outdoors is so prominent. But also, you know, veterans are very prominent here as well and getting them connected with that. Do you do any, I mean, I know that you, you know, you help them with that association, but is there anything else that you are doing specifically with your business for the veterans or having people help or?
So we try to incorporate veterans with like our photo shoots and things like that. We plan on getting some stories from veterans on kind of the connection to nature and those types of things. And we also, the couple times we've done events like our own, we are planning one right now for Veterans Day. We help by getting other veteran-owned companies to come in and join in that way. So there's Zero Dark 30 Coffee that we have coming up.
Yes, he's amazing.
Then, yeah, CRC Metalworking. Or CNC, I apologize.
You're good.
He's going to be there as well. He makes fire pits and things and some metal art, and he does an amazing job with that stuff. But he's going to be at the Veterans Day event we're throwing as well.
Have so, you heard of Idaho Prep Company?
No, I have not.
Hold on, I have to correct that. Idaho Prep Co. Incredible, incredible man. He was actually on the episode... I want to say 22. Anyways, veteran owned jerky business.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And it's kind of funny because you look very similar to him. Like the beard, just like the manliness, like definitely very, I would love to connect you guys. Oh, 21. Rylan, my guy, said episode 21. Oh, he corrected me on that. I was like, what is he doing over there? Episode 21, Idaho Prep Co. And, it just reminds me a lot of your guys' story with like why you started and giving back and getting people connected. It would be interesting, you know, to hear, like you said, like there's other people's stories, mm-hmm. you know, like how they got connected. Besides Fireside, like who is Eric? Like how, like who are you? What is your story?
My story. So I was born and raised in Alaska. Joined the military at 17. My parents signed me off, and I went into a reserve contract for 8 years. I was a medic, X-ray technician. So I went down through Fort Sam Houston, basic training at Fort Sill, then Fort Sam Houston, Fort Jackson for my clinicals, and then back to Alaska for a while. I lived back up there for a while, have a 17-year-old son up there. Graduating in May, so I'll be going back up there to go see him for that, and he's coming down for Christmas for a couple weeks, so always look forward to that. And then, so let's see, my last unit was a reserve drill sergeant unit in North Carolina. I left there before I was able to finish the training. I had a friend up in Alaska that had lost his father and was in a dark place, so that was more important. I'd gotten to a point where I knew I'd be fine, I could have done it, and so I was happy with that, but you know, I've always, friends have always been first. Friends, family is always my first priority. So I went back up there, and a few years later, met Sam, my wife. We were both working at a trucking company there. So started our journey together there. Lived up there for a little while and moved down here May of 18 with an opportunity with the business I was with up there. Came down here to further that business. At first, it was just going to be kind of a stopover point. You know, it's Idaho. Hadn't heard much about it. You know, potatoes, of course, like everybody else. And it was just going to be a career progression move. But we got down here, and my wife got an excellent job around here too. And we looked around, and we're like, this is it. Like this, there's nothing else that any place could offer that has anything more than we need right here. And it's just beautiful. The people are amazing. Found some great friends fairly quickly here, and had a great group of people. My daughter was born, right before we moved down here too. So she was 6 months old when we moved down.
Wow.
So she's turning five actually tomorrow. So yeah.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah. So proud papa. And so, we've been down here almost 5 years. Just loved it down here. It's been great. Moved into a new place last year. Yeah, last February. And the community has just been amazing. And just we are happy to call this home now. And the community is just amazing. The people are second to none.
Yeah.
So my parents moved down now, her dad, her brother. So
how cool.
Yeah, just kind of getting family down here too. So
that's exciting to be able to share your guys' experience of Idaho with the people that you guys love as well.
Yeah.
Within the military, in your career, we talked about mental health. Did you have any struggles yourself?
Not me personally. I have had friends that did. I've had some of those late calls, talking and things, and I have seen it. I've had friends of friends that have not made it, and it's. I've had actually friends back in Alaska that after I'd moved or I was down on the East Coast and things, I get text message or something that this is going on. So it has touched me, not me personally in that fashion, but I've definitely been close to it.
Right. And especially because you meet and hear so many other people's stories, and even if it hasn't affected you, you still get affected, and you get that kind of label being a veteran, having those statistics kind of against those people. I'm trying to think. I just lost my question again. Day after coming back from vacation, so I think my brain is still on vacation.
Oh, totally understand.
So with starting this business, like you said, you have been the one funding it. Where do you think you'll see it go? Like, where do you want it to go?
So right now we're mostly focusing on Idaho centrally, just our backyard right now. But Pacific Northwest is our current kind of theme, just kind of those images and those types of things. We can see doing different variations of maybe colors and trees from different areas and different seasons and things, and kind of doing limited edition type things like that. But we'd love to see it grow nationwide or globally or whatever. We're in it for the long haul and really want it to grow and just touch as many people as it can and see what it can help. And to us too, it's great that it's our company, but also we plan on doing so much good in the community with that as well.
Right.
And giving back as much as we can. So we have been connected with the Meridian Veteran Chamber of Commerce. We helped them out with one of their golf tournament events they had. Gave them a couple things of our clothing to go auction off for that. So getting our name out there too. And just helping where we can with the community.
Right. And especially when you are a startup, you want to be able to give back, but sometimes it's limited. So it'll be cool to watch you grow.
Yeah.
And then how much more you can just make an impact within the community. It's cool to see that you guys have only been in Idaho for about 5 years and you love it this much. And really it's, kind of started with an idea and has just been blossoming.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. I was in Anchorage right before this for 15 years. My wife for 8, before we left, and we didn't have nearly the community, the friends. We had friends up there, but just as the amount of them and the closeness of them we had here, it just was a different. It's so quickly being welcomed into the stuff here. It's been very different and very good.
Yeah. Do you think it's from the culture in Alaska about not feeling like such a community up there?
Not so much that. So that's one thing I liked about here is the people. Was very reminiscent of me growing up in Alaska. A little bit slower paced, friendly. It's something, you know, when I was on the East Coast, I used to tell people all the time that you break down up in Alaska and there's going to be three cars stopping behind you to help you fix whatever's wrong, right, or get you where you need to go and that kind of thing. It's the same thing here. You know, there's not much do you see, you know, people just driving by a broken down car or somebody needing, you know, help. It's that same mentality. And so that's been a really strong connection for us here. You know, we did have, you know, close friends up in Alaska and everything, but the sense of community just didn't seem as strong there. They're in Anchorage. And so that's I think, where the been the difference.
It's interesting because I feel like being so small up there and secluded that you would want or need that sense of community more than what we have down here.
So I definitely had that in Fairbanks. So that's, you know, the second biggest city at like 30,000 people. So, but you're also 8 hours from the next major city and, you know, in the middle of nowhere and it gets 60 below in the wintertime. So you have to count on each other and that kind of stuff. If your heater goes out, you're not going to make it without having your neighbor or friends or things like that help you. So it's definitely reminiscent of that.
What was it like growing up in Alaska?
Well, I mean, for me, that was what I knew. So, most of my family is out on the East Coast. And we go visit them and things and come back home. But I grew up outdoors, you know, fishing, was my biggest thing. I had a river almost across the street from my house, and that's all I did growing up. Some sports and things, but just being out in that, I think some of the biggest things was the daylight is what a lot of people get messed up by is, you know, my hometown in the winter, you get about 3 hours of daylight. And then in the summer at the solstice, it's up for about a week and a half, just going in a circle.
Wow. Like,
and then it's changing in between. Here it's great. You have, seasons. Fall up there is about a week long. The trees just explode with color and gone literally like from weekend to weekend. And then there's snow on the ground, maybe another week later. Spring is everything's melting and defrosting, which is not usually a good thing.
Right.
So it's just, it was home. So it's what I was used to. It was always fun leaving and seeing all the different stuff that people, you know, had down here. Just access to and things, because, you know, when you're in a small town in Alaska, you know, it's, you have the movie theater, you have the this, the that, like there's, you don't have options.
Right, right.
And so that's another great thing about, you know, here in Boise is just the options that, you know, you have a lot of things here, but if you want to, you can go drive to Oregon, you can drive to Nevada, you can drive to Montana, you know, just, you don't have to go through Canada.
Right.
So just weekend trips are more of an option here with more things within reach.
Right. We definitely have a lot of more cities in the time of 8 hours.
Yes, exactly.
You can almost get to Canada in 8 hours. Pretty short of it, but pretty close.
Yep.
Did your parents, like, how did your parents end up in Alaska?
So they got married on the East Coast there in Maryland and then spent their honeymoon driving to Alaska for the oil rush. So for the pipeline being built, my dad got up there and it was just too late for those jobs. They were just getting done with it. But he had an accounting background in college, so went and got a job doing that. And wound up working for a gentleman that he bought that business from him and had his own business for, let's say, 30-something years, 40 years, up there as a CPA.
Wow.
And so he retired probably 4 years ago and moved down here.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And that's, like you said, that's all you knew. Mm-hmm. You know, you only knew to go outside. You only knew to go fishing. You only knew winters to be terrible.
Yeah. My wife jokes that I was born under a rock and just that's where I lived. So a lot of things. Do you know about this? Yes, I've heard of that. I've seen it. You know, I was in the States for the military and things.
Yeah, but that's funny. Are you instilling a lot of those things that you grew up on in your kids? Like, I feel like just being in Alaska, it really does, you know, even your guys' business of being in nature, going out and exploring, going out and seeing the changing environments, you know, and especially in Idaho, we do have so many different places that you can go and see in, you know, less than 45 minutes, an hour there, you can in any direction be in a completely different atmosphere. How are you, or are you kind of instilling that in your kids and kind of keeping that generational?
So with my son up in Alaska, you know, just being in a split family, it was a little more difficult, but luckily his mom and his stepdad, his stepdad's been great. If I could have chosen anybody to be his other dad, he'd been doing an awesome job. Both big into fishing, so he got that from both sides and everything. But yeah, I took him out fishing and outdoors and those types of things as much as I could when he was growing up, camping and things. And then my daughter, you know, she's just getting to that age. We did get an RV, and so we went camping a couple times last year and really getting her out there and having some fun. And she loves playing outside and with our dogs and everything else and neighborhood kids and exploring and doing different things. So
that's cool.
I can see her definitely really enjoying it and moving forward.
Yeah. I just feel like it's such a staple thing, you know, to being able to go and explore and go and, you know, figure out what you want to, you know, imagine about. Or, you know, we camped a lot as kids and we were in the outdoors ourselves a bunch. And it just gives you a different perspective, I think, to life and kind of how big the world is.
Oh, yeah.
And how small we are.
A lot of respect for, you know, everything in nature as well, good and bad things, you know,
right.
Just, you know, the cautious respect and then just the awe, you know, being in awe of what's going on out there, respect.
Right. Yeah, the nature sometimes, it just does what it wants.
Mm-hmm.
You are nothing.
Yeah.
You will be consumed by it.
Yes. Yep.
That's incredible. With Fireside, I know we're kind of jumping around a lot this episode, but going back to really the startup,
yes.
You know, like you had said, you found your person kind of on the East Coast, found your place there in LA.
Yes, the manufacturer.
The manufacturer is in LA. How did you figure them as the manufacturer?
So the person, Jessica, on the East Coast there, she's worked with several manufacturers. We talked to several of them kind of at the same time, seeing who's going to be the best fit. Some of them could do everything we wanted, this one included. Some of them needed to do some of it here, some of them at this other location, and it just, the logistics wasn't quite right. And so we went with these guys, and we've been lucky that, you know, we landed on them right away. I know several people that have gone through multiple, you know, organizations trying to find that right one that fits them the best, but they've been really supportive of us, our goals and our what we're about and how we're helping out. And so they've just been really helpful.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then for your guys' website, mm-hmm. are you fulfilling those orders, or how do they pay? Like, what does that actually look like? Like, somebody that's wanting to start a business and you have just recently done it. Like,
yeah.
what advice would you give for them? Or exactly how did you do it?
So website, we had somebody that initially helped us out with that. So we took that basis, and then we kind of tweaked it a little bit, and we found, so that's kind of where we're at right now is, you know, between what they made the base of and what we've kind of created on there. On Shopify is the website that we are using. It seems to be working really well for us. But we did hire somebody else that's in the midst of recreating our website, and so it'll be nice and shiny here soon. A lot of new updates latest. It's more what they do. He's been our graphic designer for more of the print and, you know, our things that we put out on social media and such like that. And it's been funny, his girlfriend is actually the one that does our social media.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that's what she does, and he does the other side. And so it's been a really great power team for us, getting that stuff up and running and doing those things. But as for advice for people, just ask around, do your research. There's going to be trial and error. You never are going to get it right the first time, and just expect the unexpected. You can prepare as much as possible, but there's going to be hiccups.
Right.
So just don't let that defeat you. That's the biggest part. And again, with my wife, like, just that, the drive that she has to make something succeed and make it happen. And I've just been floored so many times on, you know, this is what we're going to do. Like, there's no way And then it happens. And like half the time that anyone would ever expect. Like she is so driven is the word I was looking for.
That's awesome.
It's just fun to see. But yeah, just keep that passion, keep going. Just know what you're about and stick to that. There's going to be so many people trying to pull you in different directions, well-intentioned, but just, you know what you're trying to do and stick to that. And, you know, that's wherever your passion is going to show through. That's I get so many people that I talk to and at these booths and things, and they, you know, I could sell the next booth over, but you're not going to feel the passion that I have for our product, for what we are doing. Same with anybody that runs a business. I'm sure you're passionate about your podcast. You know, if you went to go talk about the weather someplace, you could do it, but right. You wouldn't have that passion.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that if you have that passion, you have that drive, you want to get, you know, into some kind of business, just be ready. It's going to be a journey, and it's going to have some speed bumps, but just get through it.
Yeah. Just one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
It is. I mean, there's so many different speed bumps in different elements, you know, that you probably didn't, you know, notice. Or it sounds like you guys leverage your time very well with having somebody do your website, having somebody do your social media. You know, that's allowing you guys to still be you and not have to, you know, take so much time into, you know, like promoting it. You have those people that are doing that for you.
Yeah. And it's kind of a necessity at this point, because we both have full-time jobs right now that we're doing on top of doing this in the evenings and the weekends and everything else. And so it's not a whole lot of social life out there right now outside of going to these booths and things. But still trying to make time, you know, having time with, you know, my daughter and, you know, our friends and those types of things. It's still crucial to have, and, you know, our family that's here. But, yeah, it's just finding that balance. And so, you know, at some point maybe, you know, we'll figure out a time or place or, you know, where it makes sense to one of us, you know, is able to leave our job and start doing this. Kind of far in the future at the moment, you know, thought. But, you know, that's eventually the end game goal is for this to be self-supporting, self-fulfilling.
Right.
You did ask about fulfilling the orders as well. So what that looks like now is, we get an email that somebody placed an order on there, we go in there and we have all our product, we have our custom boxes we have, and we, you know, get the items out, we pack them up, put them in the tissue paper and make it like nice and presentable in there. This website's great because it charges the freight up front, and then we go in and we actually buy the shipping label right on that same site, and we print it off of there. And so we can get everything boxed up. I actually did that on the way here. We had an order, got the box all ready, put the label on there, drop it off at the USPS, and it goes out to the customer.
Is all the product at your guys' house?
It is.
How is that? Is that consuming a room or?
Yep. Yeah. So luckily we have a larger house than we need at the moment. And so we have one room completely dedicated. It's kind of like a clean room. You know, we go in there and that's all that's in there. We're running out of a little bit of room right now. We have to reorganize it and figure out exactly how we're going to put some of the new products we have in there. But, you know, it's neat, tidy, and organized, and that's what that one's for.
Yeah. I feel like you would have to, especially if it's just in a room, you know, in fulfilling orders and seeing what your product is and your inventory and,
yep,
just keeping everything straight.
Yeah. It's definitely, that's a large part of, especially doing these events every weekend. So I have to pack the bins that I'm taking to these events. So I've got 10 bins, five of them for shirts and tank tops, five of them for hoodies and leggings. And so I have to go up there, pack them up, you know, document what I'm taking, how much of which ones, those types of things. Then load them all up in the truck, go, you know, do our event, come back, offload them, re-inventory, you know, make sure everything's where it needs to be, make sure it's all folded nice, put away. That is definitely one of the biggest time consumers right there.
Yeah.
So, that's takes a lot. So luckily most of the things we've been doing are Saturdays, so we can get, you know, packed up, you know, either the Friday night before, if it's an early one, or, you know, get up early, you know, Saturday morning, if it's a, you know, later one, you know, 10 o'clock mm-hmm. or so. And then Saturday night, I'll bring it back and get it in the garage and in all the bins, and then bring the bins upstairs that night or the next morning to get everything put away.
Quite the process.
It is.
And how is it running a business with your wife? Unfortunately, she wasn't able to come today from being sick. It's definitely that time of season. But how is it running a business with her?
So with her specifically, I couldn't do it without her. She does all the backside of these things, of all the accounting, the dealing with the manufacturers and that kind of stuff. We both are, you know, on these meetings with the designers and things to try to come up with, you know, the plans and where we're going, those types of things. But she really makes everything run. And so it's been amazing. Like I'm trying to help out more where I can, on the things that I'm not as good at. Because she does so much, and it's not a fair split right now, because I do more of the sales, the more of the, you know, speaking stuff. I'm just a little more outgoing, and so that's, you know, why you usually see me at these events. But I don't know how she does it. Like, it's just so incredible. Like I was saying, just that drive and that, you know, making things happen. But yeah, it's been a cool journey. You know, just growing something like this. It's not your kid, but it's like seeing a kid grow. Yeah. And just seeing those milestones and all those things that's together has been amazing.
That's really cool. And it does, I mean, it sounds like you guys have, maybe it doesn't feel the same, you know, proportionate, but it sounds like you guys have optimized on what you guys are good at, you know, your strengths. Mm-hmm. Like, doesn't sound like computers are your, you know, your strength, which it is totally fine. Mm-hmm. You know, let her do that. That's probably a little bit easier and it can be faster for her, you know, than what would happen. And then you being kind of the voice and the person and the kind of upfront, you know, that may be hard for her. And so that's your strength. That's where you can kind of come in. And you have a sales background too, right?
I do. Yep.
I mean, selling your own product is pretty simple, you know. I'm not going to say simple, but it can be a lot easier, you know, because you know why you want to sell it and who is your audience and why they want to buy it, you know. And then along that, sharing your story with it too. Why did you guys, you know, start this? And just getting to be able to connect with people and talk with people along that way as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely playing to our strengths where we can. And you know, you have to learn different things, you know. So there's some things that neither one of us really knew or were comfortable with, and she's definitely taken up the slack on those. I'm starting to learn some of them. I'm not picking it up as quickly as she is, but definitely having fun doing it and then learning how I can do more.
Yeah. Well, that's probably because you were born under a rock, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just takes you a little bit longer.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's super cool. What else do you want to share about Fireside? Like, what, like, reaching out to me, like, telling your story, like, what else do you want listeners to know?
Just that, you know, we're new, but we are looking to do great things. Just with our business, with the community, a lot with veterans. We really want to make that impact as much as we can. And so just be watching out for our new products, be watching out for, you know, all the events we're doing and things like that. We just thank everybody for all the support we've had already, because it's been incredible. It's blown up more than we ever would have expected so quickly. And everyone we're talking to on the other end, on the designing, things like that, said we're doing a great job. We have nothing to measure it against, but just we couldn't have done it without the community and with the people that have really been supporting us and out there, you know, buying our brand and coming back and rebuying. Like, that's been one of the coolest things, is to see people come back and, you know, enjoy it enough to they want more of it. So
that's awesome. And that's, I mean, I great feedback for you, because if they're coming back and buying it again, the first product was good.
Yes, exactly.
That's super neat. What would be your guys' next step to needing more help?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I think our next step is growing enough to where one of us can take it on, at least a portion of it, where one of us can kind of still have our day job and be able to support where we need to for everything else, with the other person still growing Fireside. So as for other people coming in, I don't know.
That's all right. That's okay. It's just interesting because some people I think have like, hey, I really need help on this, or, you know, I want to get connected with this person. Yeah. But it sounds like you guys have, you know, really made a lot of those connections up front, and just keep on going.
Yeah. Just spreading the word is the best thing for us. Social media, those types of things. So I guess that's the biggest thing is, you know, like us, share us on our Instagram, Facebook, those types of things, and just help us get the word out. That's probably the best I can say, is just helping to get people to see us.
Awesome. How can people find you?
So we have a Facebook page, Fireside Pine. And then Instagram is Fireside_Pine. Our website, firesidepine.com. On Facebook and Instagram, you'll see a bunch of updates on where we're going to be in the coming weeks. So next weekend, we'll be at the Harvest on the Water Festival, which is the end of the Boise Marathon, which is a qualifier for the Boston Marathon.
Whoa.
Yeah, so we'll be at that. And we got several more coming up for Christmas shows and some other events and things coming up. So
that's cool. How did you come up with Fireside Pine?
So Fireside Pine was just kind of, when we think about outdoors and the happy memories and things, one thing we always kept coming back to is like sitting around a campfire with family and friends and just that relaxed, having fun, you know, letting, you know, kind of yourself go a little bit and just kind of taking a deep breath. Maybe not in the smoke, but that's just kind of the image we kept coming back with and that kind of thought. And and it's the pine trees and things being out there and that type of thing. So that's what we came up with.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I just like off the top of my head, I think of like a firearm on your side too. Like that's like you're in the wilderness. Like you do need a firearm. Like
yep.
That's kind of what rattled off my head when I was reading that. I was like, I got to ask that question.
Yep.
That's super awesome. Well, any parting, you know, thoughts or ideas for other people or advice?
Just if you have that dream, you know, just don't let people stop you. Don't let your own thoughts stop you. If you have the means and you have, you know, the drive, keep going. Just keep pushing. And same thing with life. You know, just there's people out there. You know, as I want everyone to know that, you know, there's you know, things that we can do and there's people you can talk to and things like that. And especially veterans, you know, be kind, be thankful, be, you know, just aware and, you know, just help where you can and know that, you know, there's people that are really care and want to be out there and helping you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, listeners, I appreciate you for listening for another week, another episode and another story. I definitely just relate to you with so much of, you know, following your passion and keep striving. And if there's a speed bump, then, well, it may just be a slowdown, but you know, there's something on the other side of that as well. So listeners, I definitely appreciate you guys coming back for another week. And I would love if you could head over to Apple Podcast and write a review. That would definitely help me on my side. Just really kind of promoting the podcast and getting people to hear, but also to come on and share their story. So if you know anybody that would love to share their story, you can reach me at rawthoughts.podcast on Instagram, and then as well as m.rawthoughts@gmail.com. So I would love to hear your guys' feedback. I would love to hear how these episodes are impacting you. I've had a lot of people, you know, just reach out to me within our community. But I love hearing how these people are making a difference in your life and what they're saying and how it's really impacting you and our community. So thank you, Eric, for coming on and sharing your story and getting the word out on Fireside Pine and really pushing that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
happy to be here.
Absolutely. So thank you, listeners, and I will see you next week for another episode. Bye. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.